support for OPB comes from our members and from our sponsors, like Mike Rosenberg from Columbia Credit Union. Mike says they trust what they see and hear on OPB, and that aligns with Columbia Credit Union's brand.
This is Think Out Loud on OPB. I'm Dave Miller. Nathan Vasquez has been a prosecutor in Multnomah County for almost 25 years. In that time, he's been in charge of some high-profile cases, including recent prosecutions of members of the Proud Boys. Vasquez is a senior deputy district attorney right now, but he wants voters to put him in charge of the office. He's running against his boss, Multnomah County DA Mike Schmidt, who we talked to on Friday. Nathan Vasquez joins us now. Welcome to Think Out Loud.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Almost 25 years as a prosecutor. It was basically your first job out of law school. Why did you want to be a prosecutor?
You know, this really kind of fit with kind of my overall kind of upbringing in life in that, you know, I had some really amazing examples as a young child. My grandfather was a community doctor and he served the migrant population, you know, because he spoke Spanish. And I got to see him do that. And he was one that could never turn it off. So it was like it was a 24/7 thing. And when I would go visit on holidays and weekends, I would always see patients at his house. And it really ingrained in me this idea of serving others. And he was very direct with me that, you know, he was very kind to me and paid for my college, but told me that he expected me to pay it forward. So going into the district attorney's office and, you know, when I started as an intern, it all came together for me. And it just felt so natural to get into court every day, stand up for victims, fight for community safety that, you know, really for me, it was that culmination of that and brought it together.
I want to turn to questions about crime rates. It's something you've talked about a lot on the campaign trail. You've pointed out that the spike in violent crime in Multnomah County over the last few years is an example of why Mike Schmidt should not be reelected. But as you know, the increase right before the pandemic and the slight decrease in last year's numbers, they both mirror national trends. Not exactly, but the basic trends are there all across the country. What do you see as a connection between crime rates, in this case in Multnomah County, and the actions of any particular district attorney?
Yeah, I mean, I've always viewed it as there's a question of, like, do you want to be an active participant in the issues that are facing our community, or do you want to be passive? And what I've seen in the last 4 years is that, you know, we as a community are sadly actually lagging behind a lot of other communities in what we've seen in the turnaround. I think the Wall Street Journal recently did an article that showed that Portland was one of the only cities really in the nation, one of three, I think, that actually hasn't seen the same drops in violent crimes such as homicide. And, you know, and even if you compare us across the West Coast, you know, we lag greatly behind even Seattle and San Francisco. You can take their homicides combined, and Portland has more homicides than them combined. And what I see is if you're a district attorney who is actively involved in that and working with the community and with law enforcement, you should be out there helping to really deal with these issues that are affecting our community. And I think it's critical that we elect a leader that wants to do that.
In what way? And so let's say you had been DA over the last almost 4 years, at a time when crime rates were rising nationwide, when there was a public defender shortage, there was still, let's say, I mean, everything else is the same. The murder of George Floyd, the pandemic, Measure 110, all of that happened, but you were DA. What are you saying you would have done differently that would have meant a lower murder rate in Portland or in Multnomah County as a whole last year?
Sure. It is absolutely kind of working at it from all levels. So it is partnering up with the U.S. Attorney's Office to deal with some of the violent crime issues. It's working with police officers on a day-in, day-out basis, building kind of the relationships and the coalitions to actually take on some of these areas. It's also shoring—
To take on what areas?
Violent, you know— violent gun violence, really, in particular, because when we're talking about the murder rates, a lot of what we've seen a rise in has been a spike in gun violence. And then it goes beyond that, though. If you have an active DA who is wanting to actually participate in this, you're working out in the community. We had an amazing program before. It was called the Community Peace Collaborative. That sadly kind of it went away, and we haven't seen any of the leaders in our community step up to really push that and say, hey, we need to have the connection all the way through between law enforcement, those folks that are out there trying to mentor young individuals, and really to see that kind of bring that full combination and really hit it at all levels. And we've seen sadly, a lot of loopholes really in our system when it comes to very particular things like felons with firearms. And these are some cases that are really concerning, because we do see homicides where people have pending a felon in possession of a firearm. And so it is having that kind of direct action, really having that background experience that I bring to the job and building at all levels. Again, it's everything from the top, working with the U.S. Attorney's Office, to the everyday officer on the street, to building coalitions with communities so that we can actually interrupt violence.
You have said that you consider yourself a progressive prosecutor. Mm-hmm. What do you mean when you use that label?
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's an everyday example. I train a lot of young attorneys, and what I tell them is, look, one of my philosophies is get to zero. And they look at me and I say, I always tell them very clearly, get to zero is not send someone to prison. Get to zero is, how do we get that individual out of the criminal justice system and back to a productive, healthy life? And so I train them to look at all aspects of individuals that come under us and say, hey, is it mental health? Is it, you know, a substance abuse disorder issue? How do we find what it is, the pathway to get them out of it? And I believe that's, when we talk about being progressive, what we want. We want to see people getting out of the criminal justice system and back into being productive and healthy.
Is what you're talking about different from the norm? I mean, at this point, would you then, if that's your definition of progressive prosecutors, would you say that most prosecutors around the country fit that category?
Most around the country, I mean, I think that's always hard to like quantify and look at.
Or in Oregon, sure. Say. I mean, just leave it to the 36 counties here. Is if that's your definition of a progressive prosecutor, sure. are the 35 other prosecutors in Oregon progressive at this point?
I think there are certainly some that are very progressive. You know, I see different prosecutors taking different approaches, but, you know, is there a number I could put on it? No. Do I consider myself to be the same type of progressive prosecutor as the current elected in Multnomah County? I don't. I see myself as someone who looks to bring very practical solutions to helping individuals out of the criminal justice system and to serving victims.
When I've heard you talk in the past about your priorities and what drives you as a prosecutor, mm-hmm. the word that comes up over and over and over is victims. Is there, and you mentioned it earlier today in terms of early on when you realized that this was a version of public service that really spoke to you. Is there a difference for you between seeking justice for victims and seeking justice, period, just seeking justice broadly for society, for the county? Are they the same thing?
Yeah, I'll start by saying when I talk about that, I believe a prosecutor's first and foremost role is to serve community safety, to serve the public. And in that, we need to be very focused on victims and getting justice for the victims of crime. But in the overall, you know, and I'll say instead of but, and in serving justice, that can very much include how do we treat the individuals, offenders, or the individuals that come into the criminal justice system, how do we treat them, how do we hold them accountable, but do it in a compassionate manner, because the overall goal of justice, in my vision, is one of a healthy community. And it's getting people that, you know, that maybe have committed some of the smaller level crimes, it's holding them accountable, but making sure that, they can get back to being healthy, productive members of our community.
You were a registered Republican until 2017. This is a nonpartisan race, but partisan questions have crept into it in various ways. How do you think your political philosophy shapes the way you approach your job or shapes the way you think about prosecutions?
Yeah. I mean, to be clear, this comes from my opponent, and it's really kind of his desperation to kind of steer voters and people away from the real issues.
Well, I'm asking this out of true curiosity about the way anybody's personal politics affects a job, even if the job is a nonpartisan one.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I am a firm believer that when we talk about a prosecutor that you want leading this office, you want someone who's going to fairly apply the facts to the law and make decisions about when a crime has been committed. That should really be the end of the analysis. And, you know, like I said, my opponent tries very hard to paint me as, you know, in some far right corner, and that's just simply not it. At best, I would describe myself a moderate and probably even more on the liberal side. I mean, I voted for Obama. I voted for Joe Biden. You know, so these aren't things that match up well at all with that kind of idea that I have some political axe to grind. I am someone that really, when I define myself, it is very much defined around, I serve this community as a prosecutor because I believe in victims and I believe in bringing forth good, healthy community safety.
You were against Measure 110 when it was on the ballot, and you've basically said in recent months, I told you so, and the fact that I was against it and Mike Schmidt was not is a point in my favor in terms of my judgment, is how you've put it. Do you think that the new system we're going to have, that where drugs are recriminalized, but some good chunk of cannabis tax money is going to be going towards drug treatment, do you think that'll be better than what we had pre-Measure 110?
Yes, I do. And I believe that this new amendment's a step in the right direction. You know, and to be clear, I've always supported the idea of putting more funds and more attention towards treatment and treatment resources. That has always been something that I've been supportive of. However, I did not support the decriminalization because what I saw very clearly was it was a situation where we were putting up our hands and just stepping back and saying, let's see what happens, without actually having all of the things in place necessary to get this done. And it left the individuals that were suffering on the streets in a terrible position, and it really hurt our community in a lot of different ways. And as someone working on the inside, yeah, I could see that the way it was written, the way it was proposed, it wasn't going to work.
The new system that we have now is not a question of someone's judgment in the past or lobbying for changes. I mean, drugs have been recriminalized with up to 6 months in lockup as a misdemeanor, as opposed to a year, which you were pushing for. But this is, we now have a new regime, and you and Mike Schmidt both talk about efforts that to divert people from jail if they will go into treatment. What do you think would be different in terms of the way either public drug use or possession, the way they're handled if you were DA as opposed to Mike Schmidt?
Yeah, I mean, it really starts with, though, we need an environment where individuals that are suffering from substance abuse disorder, when they walk out the door, there's not five people trying to hand them fentanyl. And it starts, so that means it starts by crushing the cartels that are in our community, actually doing the work of prosecuting drug dealers. That's been lacking. So that's step one.
But you're saying that you would do focus more on high-level drug dealing prosecutions than Mike Schmidt would?
Oh, my plan is a very specific to be kind of three different parts. And it's one that I work out very clearly to build teams to hit it at various levels. So there's a team that works at the street level. Then there's a team that works with people that are that overdose and die, and prosecuting those people that provided them with those drugs. And then the other team that I'm going to build is going to be very much that combination of high level, working with the U.S. Attorney's Office closely, so that we can very very much target those individuals that are bringing in the drugs to our community and taking the money out of our community. I mean, you really have to hit it from both levels. So it's a very directed plan. But through it all, I always want to be very direct and say, a big part of my focus, though, is yes, I want to clean up the community in the sense of allowing those individuals that are suffering from substance abuse disorder that opportunity. And the other thing that I talk a lot about is the support network around them and trying to provide them with, you know, all of the different components and tools to help them get to sobriety. I mean, that's a big focus of what I'm doing.
You're asking Multnomah County residents to put you in charge of an office with an annual budget of something like $50 million and close to 100 lawyers, in addition to many other people. What's the largest office you have been in charge of in terms of budget and personnel?
Sure. I mean, I currently run the Strategic Prosecution and Services Unit. There's about 12 of us attorneys in there, so I supervise that. I created it, and for years, you know, I've managed employees in various capacities by writing employee reviews, by sitting on hiring boards. I've done lots of different budgetary write-ups, different components of that. I've went out in the community and fought for to bring jobs to our office, particularly. So I mean, have I supervised people? Absolutely.
But a couple or up to a dozen.
Yeah, yeah.
I bring this up because you argued that you having more experience as a prosecutor gives you a better ability to manage the lawyers in the office. But as I think you know, the DA has countered that being a district attorney is about much more than overseeing prosecutions, and running a really large office requires a level of bureaucratic expertise that he says you don't have. I want to give you a chance directly to respond to that.
Well, I mean, if we just kind of look past over the 4 years, I mean, he set the bar incredibly low for me. And when I come into office, it will literally be me trying not to trip over that bar because, you know, just in comparing, you know, he has multiple gender discrimination complaints, you know, retaliation complaints. And, you know, for me, I have lots of experience mentoring young attorneys. I have lots of experience writing budget proposals, supervising individuals, caseloads. And through it all, you know, this is one where the people that we're going to manage, they heard very clearly from me and they heard very clearly from him, and they chose and voted to endorse me. So I know that I will have the support of those attorneys in that office coming in, and I'll have the ideas and the kind of the vision to really carry it forward and bring public safety to our community.
Nathan Vasquez, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Nathan Vasquez is running for Multnomah County District Attorney against the incumbent Mike Schmidt. You'll find our earlier conversation with Mike Schmidt on our website. We talked on Friday. Tomorrow on the show, last year, a U.S. Marine veteran from Oregon decided to go to Ukraine to join the war against Russia. He was killed there 6 months later. We'll hear more about who he was and about his experiences in Ukraine from the partner he left behind. If you don't want to miss any of our shows, you can listen on the NPR app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our nightly rebroadcast is at 8 p.m. Thanks very much for tuning in to Think Out Loud on OPB and KLCC. I'm Dave Miller. We'll be back tomorrow.
Think Out Loud is supported by Steve and Jan Oliva, the Rose E. Tucker Charitable Trust, Michael, Kristen, Andrew Kern, and Anna Sanford.